is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
We need time to heal, and my campaign must help in that healing. So tonight our campaign begins. I started with a pledge to you. I will be your voice, and I will be Paul Wellstone's voice for decency and hope and better lives.
The former Vice President of the United States, Walter Mondale, speaking Wednesday while accepting the nomination to take Paul Wellstone's place on the ballot in the Minnesota Senate race. Senator Wellstone, of course, died in a plane crash last week. Dan Schur joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And this is going to be a short and intense campaign with 50% different candidates, I guess we can say. Mr. Mondale's 74 years old, certainly the state's senior statesman. But these are extraordinary circumstances for any political campaign. How do you see this race breaking?
Well, it's not how I see it. It's how the polls see it. And most of the polls indicate that at this moment, Mondale is ahead. But I think that many independent Minnesotans are still making up their minds. President Bush is going in there to campaign for Norm Coleman. I don't know what effect that will have. It's not yet clear whether there'll be a debate between the candidates and what effect that debate would have or what the effect will be if Mondale is perceived as refusing to debate. Let me say that if Coleman were to win, it would be a big surprise. Then having said that, let me say it's an unusually volatile situation in which one should prepare for surprises.
Mr. Coleman, the former mayor of St. Paul, was essentially recruited to run by the Republican Party, believed his moderate stance. He's a former Democrat, and in fact, fairly recently a former Democrat, would certainly appeal in Minnesota. He was running against Paul Wellstone from a certain position. How does that approach change now?
Well, his campaign had been almost entirely devoted to attacking Wellstone, so he needs a new script. Lately, he's been making the point about Mondale's age. I don't know if Mondale will revive that famous line that Reagan used against him. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and experience. Coleman's also appealing in an interesting way to the Minnesotan work ethic by saying, for heaven's sake, he's worked for this job for 2 years, and it shouldn't be taken away from him by some Johnny-come-lately.
Mm-hmm. There was memorial service held for Senator Wellstone, family members and supporters, and people from both sides of the aisle. But there are a number of people that clearly felt uncomfortable because it seemed to turn into a political rally.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be a factor in this election?
Well, I think maybe some. I think that many Minnesotans were indeed clearly offended by the partisan tone that meeting took on towards its end, especially that rather emotional speech by Rick Kahn, who had been Wellstone's campaign treasurer and good friend. He sort of begged people to help win this for Paul Wellstone, even try to co-opt some of the Republican senators over there. It was counterproductive, and Democrats have apologized for it.
Election day, of course, in almost just a matter of hours. What have you noticed in this election cycle that you think is especially remarkable?
Well, what's especially remarkable is the way Americans have been turned off on the whole process. The turnout next Tuesday is expected to be not more than 40% of qualified voters. It was 30% in the primaries. Voters talk about a shaky economy. They talk about possible war with Iraq. But oddly enough, don't seem to connect these issues with the election. So, in Churchill's words, this looks like an election that's like a themeless pudding. You get these too close to call, up for grabs, toss up, and so on. All of this reflects a very closely divided, increasingly turned off by negative ads population.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it reminds me of? The old guy who once said, "I don't vote, it just encourages them."
You know, analysts and observers have been wondering for a few months now if some of the corporate scandals that we've seen over this past year are going to have some political effect. Now, just a few days before the election, the long-awaited indictment of the former Enron chief financial officer, Andrew Fastow, is delivered.
Yes.
Fastow is delivered. Do you see this as having any political effect?
Well,
the scandals as a whole.
The scandal remains with us. Martha Stewart comes up with something every week or so to remind us that some bad things happened back there. But I don't think you mean that. Corporate scandal and what's being done about corporate scandal remains an issue. Although President Bush on the campaign trail still talks about jail time for corporate bad guys. But the issue now is Bush's chairman of the Securities and Exchanges Commission,
Harvey Pitt,
who has turned into a big headache for the administration. He's become something of a loose cannon. Now, it turns out, that he selected former judge, former CIA director, former FBI director, William Webster, mm-hmm. a man with an illustrious background, to be head of the Accounting Oversight Board, although Webster doesn't know much about accounting, except that it kept from the SEC commissioners, the others, what Webster had very dutifully told him about having headed the auditing committee of a corporation that's now under investigation mm-hmm. for accounting fraud. It may have been a mistake of judgment for Webster to have accepted the job in the first place, but for Pitt to sit on that information was more than a mistake of judgment. So can the administration afford to keep him? He is not officially removable except as chairman. Mm-hmm. Can friends in the White House ask him to resign? Well, not before next Wednesday.
That's the day after the election, isn't it?
It happens to be.
Amazing you were so specific on that. A number of prosecutors around the country are looking into a trail that's now being traced, left by the two men charged with the Washington, D.C. area sniper shootings.
Yeah.
A number of local prosecutors have been announcing investigations, have been handing down indictments. Is this a kind of political campaign that's going on?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it's now shooting crimes in five states that seem to be involved, plus the District of Columbia. It is rather depressing that there is a kind of a bidding war among prosecutors, federal, state, local, for a piece of the action in what may be the highest profile case since O.J. Simpson. The bidding war has spun off a new debate about capital punishment, which jurisdiction is best able to deliver the death penalty. The Attorney General, John Ashcroft, is at a disadvantage here because there's no federal murder statute. So he weighs in with a bright idea of charging him with extortion under a 1946 anti-organized crime law that does include the death penalty if murder is committed as part of extortion. Well, they asked for $10 million towards the very end. Is this, however, an extortion case, or do you have to make it one so the feds can get a piece of this action?
Let me ask you, a week ago we were sitting here in the hours just following the raid of Russian forces on the theater in Moscow, in which Chechen guerrillas were holding hostages.
Yes.
It seemed in those early hours that this special kind of gas had been used, and while there might have been some, and I hate to refer to anybody's death as incidental, but that some of the hostages might have died incidentally as a result of the gas. We know now that a good many of the hostages
died.
All
but two of those who died because of the gas.
And does this change the analysis we had last week that suggested that it was a painful decision, but Mr. Putin benefited from it?
Well, it's a military gas and therefore covered by military secrecy. And not even telling the doctors who might have been able to save some people with antidotes was simply the instinctive reaction of KGB people, of whom mm-hmm. President Putin is one. Notice, however, that the Bush administration has not been criticizing his partner in the war against terrorism. Indeed, don't be surprised if the Bush administration soon puts Chechnya on a list of sponsors of terrorism. The Russians seem to be all right on the fact that some people died. They thought more people would have died otherwise. And that's it. Nobody there is taking after Putin for what he did.
Okay. United States going to win the UN Security Council vote for action against Iraq?
There's going to be an act of creative obfuscation that's going to go on. There'll be a resolution again after the election that will simply let it be decided by each, however you want to read it.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.